KQED.
From KQED Public Radio, this is the California Report. Good morning, I'm Scott Schaefer. Plans for a high-speed rail system in California got a boost yesterday when a key panel unanimously approved an environmental impact report. The train would travel at 220 miles an hour, making a trip from San Francisco to L.A. in just over 2.5 hours. Next November, voters will be asked to approve a $9 billion bond measure to begin construction on it. Governor Schwarzenegger could face more political problems next year. A new field poll shows that 55% of California voters are not inclined to support his reelection. Democrats Phil Angelides and Steve Wesley both lead the governor in head-to-head matchups, but not by much. 50,000 residents in the Stockton area could be affected by a garbage workers' strike. Employees voted yesterday to walk off the job over health and pension issues. And if you haven't seen the King Tut exhibit at the L.A. County Museum of Art yet, you still have time. The museum yesterday extended its run for 5 days through November 20th to accommodate near-record crowds. Proposition 80 on Tuesday's ballot would impose new regulations on the electric power industry. Proponents say if passed, it'll lower our utility bills, while opponents say the measure is too risky and could end up hurting consumers. One thing most can agree on, Prop 80 is extremely complicated. Reporter Craig Miller tried to make sense of it for the public television show California Connected, and he files this report.
Remember the Enron scandal when a couple of traders were caught on tape laughing about bilking Californians during the energy crisis?
Robert.
Yeah, man.
So the rumor's true? They've taken all the money back from you guys? All the money you guys stole from those poor grandmothers of California?
Yeah, Grandma Millie, man.
Critics say the Enron debacle was possible because of energy deregulation and that more regulation in the electricity industry is needed to prevent similar problems in the future. Mike Florio is with the Utility Reform Network, or TURN, a consumer watchdog group that wrote Proposition 80 with that in mind.
Do you want to be subject to the whims of the Enrons of the world, or do you want a regulated system? But we're saying never again to deregulation. We think the people of this state will agree with us.
They might, if they think passing Prop 80 will lead to cheaper electricity bills. But will it?
I would be lying if I said your bill is going to be lower the day after this passes. But what it will do is change the way business is done so that in the long term rates will be lower.
That's not the way opponents see it. Dan Pellissier is with Californians for Reliable Energy, a group opposing Prop 80.
We believe that the electricity prices will probably go up because you'll be interrupting the process by which the folks who build plants can bring them online and meet the demands of the future.
Prop 80 opponents say more power plants are one way to control prices, and they worry about the measure slowing down the construction process. But they say the big problem with the proposition is that it locks in a policy that'll be hard to amend if the measure passes, which would limit industry's ability to change with the times. Again, Dan Pellissier.
The regulators tell you that it puts handcuffs on them as they try to adapt to changing conditions. And we just believe it's the wrong way to make energy policy.
Prop 80 would increase regulation on the electricity industry and turn some state guidelines into law. Among other things, it would require electric power providers to show they have enough reserves to meet peak demand in order to avoid blackouts. There are many other complicated provisions which make experts wonder if voters are able to decipher the measure's convoluted details. Severin Bornstein is director of the University of California Energy Institute.
Part of the problem is that this is a very complex policy issue, and we're submitting it to voters who have almost no understanding of the ramifications of the various aspects of this proposition.
Bornstein believes more regulations might be good for California's electricity industry, but he says the Public Utilities Commission is already doing much of what Prop 80 calls for. And he says the measure covers too many issues to make sense to voters.
It has a whole policy initiative about renewables. It has a whole separate policy initiative about the way retail prices are set. It has a whole policy initiative about direct access, a retail choice. I would think those are separate issues that should be addressed separately, but in this case, it's an all-or-nothing ballot proposition.
Both sides agree that if Prop 80 passes, it's sure to end in the courts. But that may never happen. A field poll this week found Prop 80 failing badly, with 48% of voters inclined to vote no and half that many supporting it. For the California Report, I'm Craig Miller.
You can learn more about Proposition 80 Friday night on California Connected, airing on public television stations statewide. Yesterday was the Day of the Dead, a holiday observed in Mexico, Central America, and Latino immigrant communities for centuries. Its centerpiece, the Day of the Dead altar, is steeped in old indigenous and Catholic traditions. But now, in East L.A., art students are bringing the altar-making tradition into the digital age. From KPCC, Adolfo Guzman-Lopez reports.
Traditionally, Day of the Dead altars include deep orange marigold petals, candles, bread with simulated bones, and photographs of the deceased. At Self-Help Graphics and Art in East L.A., an animation machine is capturing stop-motion images for a Day of the Dead altar.
So you know what you're going to do here?
An instructor and area high school kids are taking drawings by the late 19th century Mexican engraver José Guadalupe Posada and creating their own animated short films. Posada drew skeletons as cats, politicians, and lovers for penny sheets sold on Day of the Dead. CalArts graduate Reggie Coleman, the project coordinator, says these youngsters love animation and they're learning about art history too.
Now that they're actually cutting out his images and manipulating it and bringing them to life, you know, they're more curious about who he was, why he created art in his day and age.
Next door, students use advanced software to edit videotape testimonials about Day of the Dead. This testimonial, the animated shorts, and text related to the holiday will be projected on three screens. Traditional altars will be on another floor. 16-year-old Matt Mendoza was born in the L.A. area to Mexican immigrant parents. He's learned more about his culture, he says, by helping out at Self-Help Graphics than he did at home.
Back then, I didn't really care about my culture. I was like, oh, yeah, Mexican culture. Yeah, it's beans, tortillas, whatever. But now I'm just like, you know, like, oh, it's more interesting. That, you know, just a lot more traditions, a lot more, you know, everything's more fun and more family-related. And, you know, it's just really cool.
Old traditions seen as really cool. Project organizers say that means the Day of the Dead altar will be around for a long time. For the California Report, I'm Adolfo Guzman Lopez in Los Angeles.
That's the California Report for Thursday, November 3rd, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Scott Schaefer. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by TIAA CREF, serving those who serve others by offering financial services for the greater good. TIAA-CREF.org. The Steward Foundation, for coverage of important issues in public education. And the California Farm Water Coalition, family farmers dedicated to using water to produce fresh fruits, vegetables, and grains for your family. Online at farmwater.org.